Welcome to the Spirituality of Strength Training with your host, Anna Willard. This podcast is dedicated to bring you knowledge, wisdom, inspiration, and guidance to wherever you may be on your health journey. For those who are new to me, I am a kettlebell strength coach, a movement nerd ninja, and an empowerment coach on a mission to bring you hope through our health. The root word of health comes from wholeness. The root word of wholeness comes from holy. Despite our differences with religion and spiritual beliefs, we are all human beings with a body that is designed to reflect this holiness through our health. It wasn't until my 7th year as a health profession where I went into a deep awakening of understanding what does it mean to train my spirit and to heal my spirit through the physical. You'll hear a little bit more about my story from other health professionals, from strength coaches, psychiatrists, spiritual gurus and leaders, to other people who talk about the importance of our health as a community body and the health of our planet as well. This podcast is to allow us to step into our whole health, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you for being here. If you love what you hear, I encourage you to subscribe. If you want more inspiration and quotes from these podcasts, I encourage you to follow me on Instagram at @Anna_Willard_. I encourage you to do a little bit of a movement, either a yoga flow, go for a walk, sit in nature, as you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the show. We have Letitia Action Jackson with us today. She is the author of 10 books. She has 3 different degrees. She has been on global television stations. She is a veteran of the United States Air Force, and she is a survivor of domestic violence. Letitia, welcome to the show.
Woo! Yeah. Yes. I am super excited to, first of all, see your beautiful face again. And I'm excited for the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I know it's been a hustle and bustle of getting our schedules to match up to get you on the show. So I'm just super excited that we were able to get this lined up for each other with everything.
Yeah. I'm excited as well. I really believe in timing, and timing is everything. So this is our time. This is it. This is it.
For those who are just listening versus watching, Letitia is an African-American. And for those who know, I am doing a series of interviews with just African-Americans to honor those, the resilience and the strength of their culture for the month of February. And Letitia, you have been in the fitness industry. Can you share a little bit of some of the challenges that you may have had with the aspect of you and having colored skin?
Well, wow, that's a really great question. So I think that, first of all, I want to congratulate you for asking that question, because I think in the political and social times that we have now, many people are afraid to ask certain questions. And irregardless of whether people believe it or not, we still live in a culture where one's skin really affects their life. And being a woman of color, I have to tell you, I have been to the highest level of my sport, which is the Fitness Olympian or Fitness Olympia. And irregardless of reaching the highest level of athletic performance, I never received sponsorship. Some of my counterparts, who typically 99% were Caucasian women, big name brands approached them, big name magazines, and many of them had not even placed or even accomplished the level of of athleticism to meet the Olympic standard that I had. And I dealt with that for a long time. And I would go into stores and look in certain fitness magazines, and I never saw any representation of Black women or women of color. Therefore, I took things into my own hands and I wrote 10 health and wellness training books. And I am on every single cover of those books because I felt it was a necessity to show all women and all girls, especially girls of color, that you matter and that your success is possible. So the challenges have always been there. Even now, Anna, when I tell people that I've written 10 books, the first thing a lot of people ask me is, who helped you write them? And I'm often astonished that someone would even have the audacity to utter those words. And I can't help but to wonder, if I were a Caucasian woman, would those questions ever be presented?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the challenges are many. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to ask if you could share a little bit about your books and the process that you wrote while writing those books.
Right. My very first book is entitled Goodbye Skinny, Hello Size Healthy.
Yeah.
And that was not the original title of the book. The original title of that particular book was I'm Not a Size Zero. That book was birthed probably a year after I survived domestic violence. And I wanted to write that book because oftentimes women are taught, if you are healthy and if you're fit and you are beautiful on the outside, that everything around you magically seems better. However, I contradicted everything that the world told us. Despite having one of the fittest bodies in the world, despite being in Oxygen magazine, Muscle and Fitness Hers, every fitness magazine you can think of, despite being highly educated, I was broken on the inside. And I knew that if I survived my domestic attack, it was my mission to use my platform and as an Olympian to tell women, hey, fitness starts on the inside. You have to begin with what's on an inside of you. And in the process of writing that book, I began to heal because I started teaching women how to become fit from the inside out. I went on to write other books. I have one that's being released next month that's entitled Fit, Empowered, and Unstoppable. I think that women really need to recreate what it means to be empowered. And if you look at the definition in Webster, it says that empowerment is to give authority, to give power. Nobody gives a woman her power. Her power is within her. It is up to her to activate it within herself. So everything that I write is about teaching women how to activate what's already in them and using fitness as a vehicle to do so.
Awesome. I love that. Well, you,
yeah.
You answered the question that I had for you. It's like, well, how do you empowerment? And I think you mentioned that with like really redefining it within. What are like some of like, if you could give me for the listeners to kind of start that journey of empowerment, what would you say those three basic steps would be to start?
I love that. And I have to tell you, I have coined a new word and it's empowerment, the letter N.
Yeah.
And that's, yes, that's actually my coaching academy. The three tips that I would give anyone who's listening now or anyone that's really on a true journey of empowerment is first of all, to allow yourself to get rid of all of the notions of who you are supposed to be. And I say that because I believe women have what I call the should syndrome. You should be here by now. You should feel this way. You should look this way. And when you're shooting all over yourself, you're really stopping yourself from saying, hey, whose voices am I really listening to? So that's the first step. The second one is to be cognizant of the relationships in your life. Do you have people around you that tell you things that you want to hear? Or do you have people in your life who challenge you, who say to you, this really doesn't fit you. This doesn't seem like you. And third, be bold enough to learn to say no. If you don't want to do something, don't do it just because someone told you is what you should. It goes back to that should concept. And I'm going to tell you, I got to a point in life where I said to myself, if it does not align with my divine purpose, If it does not align with what feels good to me on the inside, I don't do it anymore. Because I no longer need other people's approval. I, by myself, am enough. And it has nothing to do with having an amazingly fit body. It doesn't have anything to do with being highly educated, nor does it have to do with my appearance. It has to do with I am valuable, period. Mm-hmm. Point blank.
Yeah, and another guest on the show talked about the importance of understanding our worth and our worth just being the fact that we exist and how
yes.
to really honor that. As women, I know for myself even, we get down this like rut of comparison of should haves, but also she's doing this or better than me or I can't do that because of Y and Z. How do you help women eliminate that mindset or that self-talk to really step into their power?
The first thing that I tell women is to go compliment another woman. Hmm. And they're like, what? What do you mean? And they almost have this blank look. And I share with them, and this is very important, you can only give what you have. Mm-hmm. By complimenting another woman, what I'm saying is that your beauty, your accomplishments, your whatever I see in you that I'm complimenting you for does not negate what's inside of me. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us as women, when we think about where we're at right now, truly moving forward will require women not just to talk about being empowered with our lips, but being empowered with our actions. Women can be just as misogynistic as men. And so whenever you are comparing yourself to another woman, what you're really saying is, I see something inside of her that I wish I had. And instead of viewing her as being a threat or being a competitor, celebrate her uniqueness because it frees you up to go back in and say, she's really amazing at that. I celebrate that about her. I'm really amazing at this. I celebrate that about me. It doesn't have to be either or. It can be both. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think for kind of going off of that, a lot of times when I've seen or been in that comparison rut, a lot of times what I'm seeing in the other person is within that comparison is the denial of myself, of
yes.
seeing that same gift and quality being expressed and being jealous of that, where I haven't, like you said, haven't given myself that freedom to really step into that. And that's where that creates that division between both and that complementary of the other person and acknowledging it within myself. So I think with what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but with acknowledging the beauty and the accomplishment of other women, we're also accepting those same gifts and qualities within ourselves.
Yes, because what happens is when I first met you, for instance, I could say, oh, I'm so proud of you, right? Like right. you told me you had a book coming out. I knew that you were passionate about health and fitness. And what I gave you was what I had within myself. Mm-hmm. And what that was, I'm proud of myself. Mm-hmm. I'm content with myself. So I give out to you what's within me. That's why we as women have to do the work from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's almost like you're a magnet. You will be attracted to the things that are within you.
Yeah. Now, does this go back to accepting that concept of you are enough or that I am enough?
Yes. It all goes back to you are who you are. You know, I have this concept. When I left my ex-husband after my domestic violence attack, I literally moved 7 times in 7 years. Wow. And I call it a geographical healing. Mm-hmm. I believe that if I move to a new state, if I move to a new location, then all of the pain, all of the disappointment, everything that I felt within me would go away. Mm-hmm. But the reality was everywhere I went, the pain went with me. Mm-hmm. So many women think if they get a better body, if they get their lips done, if they get their breasts augmented, if they get just that last 5 pounds, the reality is they have never really gotten to know themselves and they're running from who they are. Mm-hmm. Until you face who you are and say that I am enough right now, mm-hmm. not when I lose 10 pounds, not when I get a better job, not when I write a book, you are enough right now. And what I had to do is say, Letitia, you are enough. And who you are is not predicated on where you move. It's not predicated on your occupation. And I had to confront myself and say, you are running from yourself. Mm-hmm. Being the best me.
A lot of people talk about kind of hitting like that ground zero. Did it come to a place for you hitting that like rock bottom? Or was it just of like, you just got tired of running away from yourself to realize that
I was tired of running from myself. I was tired of the same vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. And I woke up one day and I said, look, we're going to deal with the issues that are within you. 8 months after I left my ex-husband and was going through the divorce process, I found myself in another relationship with a different man with the same behaviors. Mm-hmm. I was the common denominator. Mm-hmm. And I knew in that moment, had I not made the decision to say, stop hiding behind the medals, stop hiding behind your intellectualism, stop hiding behind your academic success, you are broken. You don't know how to love yourself. Your father left you at an early age and you defined yourself by other people's expectations of you. I went on this vicious cycle, like I am going to prove I'm good enough versus just being good enough.
What steps do you or that you have found to help that process of self-love?
I love the term that you just used, process. Mm-hmm. As women, we really think that self-love is a destination, right? Like you're gonna drive in your car.
This is good. Keep going.
Right? Like you're gonna drive in your car and all of a sudden one day you're like, oh, this is it. I love me. No. It is a daily, it is a moment by moment, second by second, reframing of the mind when old negative thoughts come in, mm-hmm. to replace them with new thoughts. Mm-hmm. When old behaviors come in, replacing them with new behaviors. But it's been a 12-year process.
Yeah.
And so often women such as myself who have made it to the other side, we go on podcasts or we are presented as women of power and we only share the outcome. Very seldom we speak on the process. It is the process that has gotten me to where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. I'm still growing. Every day I'm learning to love myself. Mm-hmm. As of late, one of the things that I discovered was I have mother issues. I used to have daddy issues. Mm-hmm. Now I have mother issues where when I go to spend money on myself, I feel guilty. And I'm like, where does this come from? And I identified that I learned it from my mother because she never spent money on herself. Mm-hmm. And it's a lack of self-love. It's basically saying everything else and everyone else is more important than me and I don't deserve that.
Right.
Last week, I threw out old workout clothes. I threw out old shoes because I deserve better. So it's being cognizant of our behaviors and not just bypassing them, but saying, why do I do what I do? And then taking it further than that, saying, what is the root of my why? Mm-hmm. In my classes, when I do my personal development, I tell my clients before they come to get their shovels because I make them dig.
Yeah.
I make them really get to the root of why do you do the things that you do? Mm-hmm. And if I hear another person tell women to fake it till you make it, I think I'm going to jump up and scream.
Thank you. I can totally relate to you with like the money issue and feeling guilty with like investing in myself or my business, and really how it wasn't demonstrated through my mother because she was taking care of all of us, and understanding that this is a good thing that I'm nourishing myself so I can give to others. So I can totally relate to you. So I thank you for sharing that, because that's not easy work because I'm in the midst of it myself. Go ahead.
I will tell you though, I think that that within itself is a problem. You mentioned that it is not easy work. And if we're honest with ourselves, that is why a lot of women do not go into the depths of where they need to. Mm-hmm. Because once you start to dig, and once you knock on the roots of your issues, mm-hmm. you've got two choices. You can confront them, or you can run from them. Those are really the only two choices you have. Mm-hmm. And if you are in a moment in a place in life where you choose to confront them, it is going to cost you. Mm-hmm. It will either cost you that relationship. Mm-hmm. It will either cost you going back and re-feeling and reliving the pain. But everything in life will cost. Mm-hmm. You just have to determine if you feel valuable enough to invest. And it's an investment. Mm-hmm. You are worth the investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going to, because you mentioned with fitness and how that was almost like an aspect of you running away with getting all the medals and everything like that. How, because mm-hmm. you still are very fit and that's still a very big part of your life. How have you mentally changed that mindset going into your workouts, knowing that you are enough, versus like striving to prove yourself?
That is such a beautiful question. I have to tell you, I changed my why. Mm. And when I was competing, I've always been drawn to movement. Yeah. I've always known that fitness was what God has created me to do. So the workout was never the moment of proving myself. It was always the outcome of the workout. Mm. And what I mean by that, what I built in the gym was my mechanism of trying to prove my worth. So when I'm on the stage in front of hundreds of people, I can control that. I'm in control. I'm showing you that I'm a hard worker and you're clapping for me and you're giving me an attaboy. Now, as a 40-year-old grown woman who loves herself, I still love the gym. I still love movement. I'm probably in the best shape of my life now at 40 than I was even at competing. But I now recognize that me being fit doesn't define me. Me being fit is, in essence, a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. So I still love the workouts. The workouts still feed my soul. They still feed my mind. But when I'm out in public and people are looking or they may compliment me, I'm not driven by the compliments anymore as I was in my 20s. I don't need the compliments. If they come, great. But I don't do it anymore to be acknowledged. I just happen to get acknowledged because it's evident that is there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Do you have any advice of how women can shift? Or even men too, because I know men struggle with some of this, the body image issues of how to shift their why from getting those compliments and like getting the workouts in to receive those like attaboys, you got this type of thing, to more of that wholeness within themselves.
I would say the first thing is to, I always go back to your why. Why did you begin fitness training? Mm-hmm. Was it to compete? Was it athletic performance? Was it because someone told you that you were overweight? Did someone leave you in a relationship for someone thinner? I always go back to our why. And then once you identify your why, give yourself permission to allow that why to evolve. Mm. When I was in my 20s, my why was athletic performance. In my 40s, it's about mental wellness. It's about preventing osteoporosis. It's about feeling good in my own skin. Give yourself permission to define why on your own terms. Mm-hmm. And in that process of defining your why, don't put anybody else in that why. Mm. That's what I would say start with. If you miss a day at a gym, are you upset because you missed a day because how you feel? Or are you upset because you're so focused on the numbers on a scale that you believe it's a reflection of you not being good enough? Mm-hmm. You always have to go back to your core, your center of why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Period.
That's good. Yeah. With mm-hmm. now and how you mentioned exercise is more of that mental aspect of feeling wholeness, how has exercise really brought to you more of that mind, body, spirit concept of uniting those three?
I will tell you, after I left my ex-husband and I was in a very dark, dark state of being, exercise besides God and my faith was a safe place for me. When I go to the gym doesn't take from me. It gives to me. Mm. I can take out my aggression, whether it's slamming a 16-pound med ball or, you know, doing push-ups and having tears in my eyes. And, you know, there's always a war that rages within me. And there's always moments throughout some of my workouts where something triggers a thought of my past. I've been able to use exercise to push through that pain. Mm-hmm. When my body has told me to stop, my mind tells me to keep going. Mm. So everything that I learned in the gym, I mm-hmm. apply it in the real world. It's been transferable. When I wrote 7 books in a year, it was just like in the gym when I'm at my last rep mm-hmm. and my body is fatigued. My mind is so powerful. My mind is so strong that I push through. Mm-hmm. So when I go in the gym, I allow myself just to be in the moment and feel my body's movement, feel my breath, feel mm-hmm. my heart rate go up. My body and I are one now, mm-hmm. and I respect my body and I respect myself.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What yeah. you just said. Yeah. That's great. And I know I can relate to some of those tearful workouts with my own exercise and my journey of health. What do you have to say about, I kind of phrase it as the courage to cry, to let go.
I love crying. Oh my
God. I love that you just said that because I feel like I cry all the time. I love that you just said that. Thank you.
Yes, darling.
So good.
I cried this morning. I went for a run, and my daily mornings consist of listening to scripture, and God really spoke to my heart about not being held back by things in life and past hurt. And sometimes we have so many scars on our heart that we begin to have scars on our eyes, and it blocks us from seeing the beauty of the pain, that it brought something so beautiful to fruition. And so I probably cry 3 or 4 times a week. It just depends on if God touches my heart. I cry about things that I just know I went through. You know, tears have been healing. It's a process. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ashamed of my tears. I tell people I am a lion and I'm a flower. And so when I have to be a lion, if I'm on stage and I'm speaking to crowds of thousands, right. I can roar.
Right.
But I also know how to be a flower and say, right now I'm feeling delicate. Right now I'm feeling vulnerable. Right now I'm feeling exposed because something's going on the inside of me and I need to accept what I'm feeling. And I think so many women in this women's empowerment movement mm-hmm. are trying to get rid of the beautiful femininity that God has given them. You are a flower. You are delicate. You are so beautiful and soft. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be a lion when I want to be. I know how to turn it on and off, you know, and I know how to say, no, I'm not okay today. And no, I don't want to do that. And no, I don't want to talk to you right now because I need to take care of me mm-hmm. because I'm valuable.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned,
I love crying.
That, great.
I have to say it again. I love it. Go ahead, honey.
So good.
Yes, cheers.
I just want to say thank you for that because I don't think our society allows or really praises the fact that crying is so healthy for our bodies. I saw a quote somewhere. It's like, if you don't cry, it's like saying you don't go to the bathroom or something like that. That release is such a biomechanical response that we need to honor. And so you just, I love that you praise that crying is so mm-hmm. good. And so
oh, girl, it's a part of my wellness plan.
Yeah. you mentioned God a couple of times and where do I want to take this with that? Some of the listeners, are probably Christians, which I believe you are. Is that right?
I am. Yes, ma'am.
And so how do you help those who may either be struggling with their faith, don't know God, but how do you put into practice like almost the faith fitness component of our well-being? If
you know, I do.
Okay.
What I find is important is that to me, God is about a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I believe so often religion gets in a way of relationship. And when I meet women, I did a fitness expo 2 days ago, and it's amazing how women, the first thing they see is your body. Mm-hmm. And they say to me, well, if I had a body like that, I feel really good about myself. Or I met a beautiful woman who came to me and she was like, well, can I take your body and keep my head? And I said to her, why would you say that? And she was like, well, I don't like how I look. And I said to her, I said, who told you that you weren't beautiful? Mm-hmm. And she kind of looks away and I looked her right in her eyes. I said, who told you that you weren't beautiful? And she said, I told myself. I said, well, God would never tell you that. And he created you. Mm-hmm. And her floodgates, like tears, mm-hmm. just. And for me as a believer, it's not about curation. It's not about Bible thumping. It's not about scripture. It's about carrying God's love in my heart and being so in tune with his passion for people mm-hmm. that when I see people hurting, I can reach out to them in his love. Mm-hmm. It's that simple for me. You know, it's, I know that God puts us in places that we belong because what's inside of us, which is his spirit, mm-hmm. people are divinely placed in our lives. Mm-hmm. So as a believer in Christ, everywhere I go, my heart and my eyes are open to God. How do you want to use me today? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a hug, whether it's a, I see you. Mm-hmm. I had one lady that shared with me at the fitness expo that she had just been clean from meth for like 6 months and gained a lot of weight and she felt ashamed. And I told her, I said, there's nothing that you can do that will separate you from God's love. And I told her, I'm so proud of you. And I just hugged her. Mm-hmm. So as a believer, I think if you're walking in God's love, every day is a moment to share his love.
Hmm. Awesome. When you and I first met, you shared a story about being at church. I don't know if you remember this story that you shared with me, but it was you're singing and you're at church and some woman said you're being too loud. Do you remember the story? Can you first rephrase it so it's coming from your end?
Sure.
And then elaborate on the aspect of the struggle of maybe being too much versus enough.
Oh gosh, that is so beautiful. I was actually at a women's Christian conference. Mm-hmm. And I was in the moment of praising and worship. I had someone tap me on my right shoulder. And so I look over and unfortunately it was the pastor's wife. And I said to her, I said, "Hi, ma'am, how can I help you?" And she said to me, "Well, I'm going to need you to stop worshiping as loud." And I said to her, "I'm a little confused." And I look around and there's probably about 300 or 500 women in the room. And I said to her, I said, "You came over here to tell me not to worship God and I'm in church." Mm-hmm. And she says to me, "Well, we only worship in a corporate way," basically saying to me that we all worship the same. And I said to her, I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I respect you, first of all, for being a woman, and I respect your position as a pastor's wife. However, this conversation is now over. No one will tell me how to worship God. Mm-hmm. Worship is an intimate, private experience." And what really broke my heart was I had been attending this church for almost a year, and every Sunday, the very same women, including the pastor's wife, would look at me, make very unwelcoming looks, you know, look me from my head to my toe, mm-hmm. never spoke to me. And for half a second, I was going to grab my belongings and leave. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "You are going to stop running." Because when you were taking ownership and fully walking into who you are, mm-hmm. you are told that you're too much, you're mm-hmm. arrogant, and you're conceited. And I was tired of running. Mm-hmm. And I have a belief now, if you are intimidated by what God put inside of me, I am no longer walking out of the room. You get to leave.
Preach it.
I'm not leaving anymore.
So you mentioned the Holy Spirit, and I believe the body is the temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell. How have you used exercise to attune to listen to the Holy Spirit?
That's a beautiful question. I, as of late, have started to meditate. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I find with me being an athlete, I'm very intense, and the Holy Spirit is a very gentle, quiet voice. Mm-hmm. And in meditation, I turn my heart and my mind to Him to hear what He wants to say to my heart. Mm-hmm. And so for me, meditation has brought me closer to God. And what it does is it not only brings me closer to Him in the mornings, and I'm not always great at it, but I've tried to be more consistent with it. It's me saying, "God, before I give my time and my heart to anything else, let me give my heart and my time to you. Mm-hmm. What is it that you have planned for today?" Instead of me saying, "Letitia, what are your plans for today?" Mm-hmm. I try to be cognizant and say, "God, what are your plans for me today?" Mm-hmm. And I always say, "Your servant's listening." Mm-hmm. I hear you. I want to hear you speak to me. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what happened this morning on my walk. He spoke to my heart and I heard Him loud and clearly. Mm-hmm. So being in nature gets me closer to God. So I'm exercising my temple, but I'm also listening to Him. Mm-hmm. And it's different for every woman. You know, some women may run and talk to God. Some may write and talk to God. But in essence, when it comes to the body, I believe it shows me even more of Him, because in my movement, I acknowledge Him. I can only move these hands because of the breath He gave me. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to Him.
Yeah. Going back mm-hmm. to your story that you just shared with the church, I know and I asked this question, and it's a sticky question, on another episode about white supremacy and more of like the Bible thumping church aspect of things, and how that almost stemmed from Christianity. How have you dealt with some of that stuff as an African-American woman who still loves the Lord?
Mm-hmm. How have I dealt with the white supremacy issue?
Both white supremacy and the fact that white supremacy and it almost being the Bible being used as like a place to
justify it.
Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I have dealt with a lot of racism. I, as a woman of color, have often been told, mainly by white women, that I am intimidating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have been told that I'm loud. I have been told that I am aggressive. And there was a time, if I'm honest, there was a time where I had a thing against white women. Mm. I had experienced so much racism that I would see a white woman whom I had never had a previous experience with, and I would automatically project the other biases that I experienced on her. And I had anxiety when I worked in a corporate world. I remember being at the meeting table when I worked for the Navy as a contractor. And one of the doctors, I have a dual master's in public health, public policy. Mm-hmm. And so I was working in a healthcare system. And one of my physicians asked me to, in lieu of her being there, she asked if I would conduct the meeting. And I'm in a room with probably 70, 80 physicians, different healthcare providers, at the head of the table leading the meeting. And in the process of doing so, one of the providers asked me, how do we know you're qualified to share this information in front of everyone? And I distinctly remember thinking to myself, if I were a white woman or a white male, you would have never uttered those words. Mm-hmm. So as a Christian, the biggest part for me is to not use Christianity to excuse people's behavior, but to use Christianity to ask God to keep me and my heart pure and not to get roots of bitterness, mm-hmm. to acknowledge the issues thereof, mm-hmm. And bring those issues to the forefront, but bring them to the forefront in a godly and righteous way. Because hate is hate. And if you say that you're a believer, God is love. Mm-hmm. And I think that contradicts the word of God. When you hate and when you isolate and you, whether it's implicit or explicit bias, bias is bias. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in a black church. I don't believe in a white church. And I don't believe in all of that stuff. The body of Christ is supposed to be the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. When I go into the world, I don't want to be a smart black woman. I want to be a smart human. Mm-hmm. I don't want labels on me. I don't want to be an angry black woman. I am a woman who is assertive, and she knows how to get what she needs, and she knows how to ask for clarity and direction to get there. Mm-hmm. Total difference.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think are some changes we as, and I'm saying this for myself, as a white woman can do to help kind of change that perspective that has been given to us as we have been raised up?
Right. I appreciate you asking that. While I was in Seattle, I actually began to start having these conversations with a lot of Caucasian women who were in a position to elicit change. Mm-hmm. And while I was in Seattle, one of the things that I noticed when I would go to different events, networking, whether they were on a business scope or professional, and typically there was a panel, the panel was homogenous. Mm-hmm. And I remember speaking to a few of my associates, which were Caucasian women. I would say to them, in order for us to really move conversations forward, you must mimic the audience of the real world. So as a white woman, to me, it's important for you to ask me, tell me more about your experiences. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, I'm labeled as angry, but maybe I'm hurt. Maybe I'm hurt from having, I've been in places where I've had more degrees than people who were managing me. Maybe I'm angry because when I sit at the table, my ideas and concepts are downplayed. Maybe I'm angry because when you speak to me, you don't speak at a horizontal level. You try and attempt to speak down to me. As another woman, how you can help is to acknowledge, if I'm sitting at the table with you and I provide insight and someone at the table bypasses me, as a woman, as a sister, especially as a sister in Christ, I believe that that is your opportunity to say, hey guys, Miss Jackson had some really good insight. Let's dive a little bit more into that and hear what she has to say. I believe if we're going to be allies, we need to be allies in the boardroom. We need to be allies in education systems. We need to be allies in healthcare systems. If you look at health inequities, African American women are 41% more likely to die of breast cancer than anyone else. We don't have access to care. Even women such as myself, who are highly educated, the way that we receive medical treatment, and this is shown in research, is different than Caucasian women. We have to link arms, and if I have a problem, you should have a problem. Mm-hmm. If I am being discriminated against, it should be affecting you as well. Because we're women. If we stop looking at being Black, white, Latina, and say, that's my sister, mm-hmm. and she's a woman, and she's a part of my womanhood, I'm going to voice for her. That's how you step up and make change.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Any other advice? We're going to wrap it up shortly, but is there anything else that you want to share to the listener with? I mean, we kind of gone through different spectrums on this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that you would like to dive in before we call it good for today?
I do. I want to share that as a result of the domestic violence that I went through in a conversation one day with my nephew at the time, who was 21, he said to me, Auntie, you are courageous. And I asked him, I said, what do you mean by that? And he said to me, I've seen the process of you rebuilding your life. Mm. He says, most people would have given up by now. You've got a lot of courage inside of you. Mm. And I listened to him and I was like, wow, courageous. And I was thinking, I never saw myself as courageous. I've always thought of myself as determined, as strong, as resilient. But when he said that word courageous to me, I began to think about other women such as myself who may have gone through domestic violence, mm-hmm. maybe survived breast cancer, raised single kids on their own. And I said to myself, there's courage inside of every woman. Mm-hmm. And I started to think about products and certain sayings. And out of that, I created what's called Courageous Expressions, mm-hmm. which is a women's empowerment product line. You can see behind me to my opposite side here, we have t-shirts, we have bags, we have mugs, we have pillows. Courageous Expressions. Yay!
Yeah. No, that's so great.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to grab my shirt here. I don't know if you can see that. This shirt here says,
There you go.
It says, live fit, live empowered, live unstoppable.
That's great. That's so good. And I'm so glad. Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, honey.
I was just going to say, I'm so glad you brought up the aspect too of the domestic violence, because that's something I wanted to dive in a little bit with that. And the word courage, you are probably familiar with this, is the word, it refers to the word of our heart. And like you said, like every woman is courageous and every human being is courageous. Yeah. So I love how you are expressing this and allowing it to, or helping other people see too, that they have courage living within them.
That's right.
And how we can explore that as well. Anything else you would like to add to the listeners?
Just stay amazing. I mean, like every day, wake up, look yourself in the face and say, good morning, gorgeous. Like, tell yourself how amazing you are before your day starts. And when anybody else tells you, it's just extra.
I love it.
Just extra.
Awesome. Well, Latisha Action Jackson, do you have any events coming up that people should know about?
Yes. So the Women's Empowerment product line, I am officially launching that the first week of March for Women's International Women's Day.
Awesome.
And on February the 24th in Roseville, California, at the Galleria Mall, and I'll have this posted on my website. Mm-hmm. I have partnered with a large athletic company called Athleta, which is a women's empowerment product line. And I am going to be signing my book right here. Where did it go? I'm having a book signing for my book called Fit, Empowered, and Unstoppable.
I love it.
There it is. There it is. And you can order this online and bring it into the store and I will sign it. But I will be on Fox 40 on March, the first week of March for Women's Month again. There's a lot of great stuff coming up in the works. Go to my website at Empowered Coaching Academy. And the letter is in, as in within. Yeah. And sign up for my newsletter and you can stay connected there.
Awesome. Well, and I'll make sure that is all in the show notes as well. And then how can we get some of that cool, courageous swag that you have, the t-shirts and stuff?
Yes. If you go to my website, to Courageous Expressions, go to services, click down to Empowered Products, and you'll click on a link there. It'll just shoot you straight to the page where you can order it.
Awesome. Great. We'll get that.
Yeah.
In the show notes. Well, Leticia Action Jackson, thank you so much. I know the short time that we have had, I met you in person. I know you touched my heart deeply, and I know the listeners have been touched deeply with you sharing your story and your insight and wisdom with the world that we are living in today and just how to stay healthy and fit mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So thank you so much for making time to be on the show. Strong ones, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it out to your family and friends. Give it the love with the 5 stars and a review. Other than that, I'll be peacing out until next week.
Bye.
Hey, Strongwinds, thank you so much for tuning in. As many of you know, here in the United States, we honor African Americans during the month of February. So I decided that every guest that I have on the show for February be of color or African American. And my goal with this is to simply learn from them, simply listen from them, and to hear their stories of how they have built the resilience that many of us may not realize that they continue to strive for and live within today's society. So I thank you for joining me with this, and I hope you learned something about our culture and the culture of African American and their people and their strength. So thank you, and sit back and enjoy.